my God, they found Tom.
They found Tom. What it turned out that they're going to move, they're separate the Americans. They're going to put us in another compound called the South Compound, which they completed. And so after conferring, everybody conferring, they decided that the Yanks ought to have a chance, so we concentrated on Tom, stopped on everything. And we got up Tom about 230 feet, as I recall it was, when it was discovered. And it was such a big damn deal. In fact, one story, the German the demolition experts, so what the hell to do, they got down that tunnel, and when they blasted, it took the top off the damn building, off the barracks. It really did. And then shortly thereafter, they moved Americans. So that's the reason none of us ever got, you know, were in on it from then on out. And then they laid low for some period of time. Then they took the sand out of Harry and filled up Dick. See, put it back in. And then during the winter, they were used the theater under the floor of the theater. That's where they got rid of the sand
there. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How many prisoners were going out, and who decided who was going?
Well, that was all worked out, and again, on a very a scale. First, you had to be a worker. Two, the people with language capabilities were high on the list. If you could speak German, or if you're French, you could speak French. Or any other language, you could always go as a laborer, because the Germans had all kinds of prisoners or people around that were foreigners in labor camps or doing labor. Those were the main things. Then the hard workers, and finally you get down to what we tell people is just hard asset, that they give you a compass and a map and a chocolate bar, and away you go. But the people at the top of the list, who could speak language, were given clothing, identification papers, and rations, and logical stories.
Speaking of those identification papers, by the way, I understand, too, that the forgers on the job there, excuse me, in the camp, you could put them up against the likes of Van Gogh. They were so good.
That's exactly right. And they carve the stamps out of rubber heels, that sort of thing for stamps. And the calligraphers were very good. We had the compass factory. We made compasses out of phonograph records, needles. They turned them out. We must have turned out a couple of hundred of those.
What about clothes? I understand that must have been a big chore.
Well, it was. It was dying clothes to take uniforms and modify them into civilian clothes, guerrilla type suit or something. Was pretty much of a challenge, and to try and dye either Valley RAF type uniform mostly. That was tough. I can't even remember how I got the dye, but people contrived tea and goodness knows what all. Not many people, you had almost any skill you could think of.
Well, you were in the movie, The Great Escape. You were They were shooting for 250, but I understand only 76 made it out, right?
Yeah, actually, 250 is a little heavy. Maybe it was 200, I doubt it. But you're right, 78 made it.
Okay.
And of that, and that's before they were discovered. What had happened again, the Germans kept falling the trees. See, we thought we'd get to the woods, and then next thing you look out and you cut down more trees. So you have to go further, and then they kept digging the trees. Cutting the trees.
I was going to say, you came up short, right?
No, actually, we came up short of the tree line, right.
Right. Hold on to yourself, Bartlett. You're 20 feet short.
What do you mean, 20 feet short?
You're 20 feet short of the woods. The hole is right here in the open. The guard is between us and the lights.
survey took us.
What the hell difference does it make? It's happened.
So you had to wait till the guard, who was behind you then, of course, by the fence, when he went back and forth, and then they'd have to signal, and the guy would rush or rapidly get into the tree line, and we had to do it one at a time, and it took, they worked on it for several hours. They had a very difficult time breaking out, too, because as you went vertical, then you got to a frozen crust, frozen area, probably a foot and a half thick, and took time to break through that before you could, to get out. So all this contrived to delay everything, and finally, one of the Germans, the guard, did stumble on the opening and sounded the alarm, and that was that. All the rest of the people, of course, there were probably 100 of them in the tunnel at that point, waiting to get out.
350 feet long, I can imagine that was full of guys.
Yeah, that's right.
There was one scene in the motion picture where they were making the escape that an air raid was called. Was that part of it true, too? Where all the lights went out in the camp and everybody...
Yeah, I believe that's right. Yeah.
Okay. Now,
because there were no lights, which didn't help their situation any, that's for sure.
Of the 78, only 3 made it to freedom. And
yep.
I know this has got to be a tough part of the story, but there was 50...
Murdered,
yes. That's the only way you can put it.
Yep. The three people who made it were all Europeans. Two Swedes and a Norwegian, I believe, or two Norwegians and a Swede. So they knew the language and they knew the country. Nobody else made it. It was pretty much random, apparently, the ones that they shot. Some were just returned to camp, very routine fashion. Others were done mostly by twos, threes in the car, presumably taking them someplace. They stopped, they get stepped by the side of the road to relieve themselves, and they're shot in the back of the head.
I am directed by higher authority to inform you that 50 of your officers were shot while escaping.
Shot?
The personal effects will be returned.
How many of them were wounded?
We ask the names of the dead.
How many of the 50 were wounded?
None.
The RAF pursued the matter, very diligently after the war, and spent a long time tracking down everyone involved in the thing. And they eventually brought, and I can't really remember the number, several, maybe a couple of dozen, to trial, and there were all kinds of sentences from death to years and years in imprisonment.
Coming up next, as KFGO remembers the Great Escape 50 years ago, we'll ask General Jones about the three that made it as he kept in touch. Also, we'll find out about the Commandant and the good and bad things that maybe he liked about the motion picture, The Great Escape. That's coming up next on KFGO. Does anybody ever keep in touch with the three that made it? Have you had a chance ever to talk with them?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I think one of them was alive now. Van der Stock is the chap's name, and we see him quite often. He's I forgot what he does, to tell you the truth now, in Sweden.
Oh, he's still over in Sweden,
though. And he comes to the United States quite often. He's good. Bob Clark's a good friend of his, and I know him, but not real well. Sure.
Backing up just a bit, the commandant of that camp, Von Lindener?
Lindener, yeah.
Yeah. The movie kind of made him out, you mentioned that at the very beginning, kind of a somewhat of a decent guy, says, please don't try to escape. Was he really, fairly good to the prisoners?
Yeah. He was, And he, you know, after the big one, he was court-martialed for that. He was not, however, executed. Let me see. Well, anyway, he lived it out and has written several accounts of the whole of his story. He's dead now, but he was. He fought very hard to get the prisoners turned in to the Air Force instead of being held by the Gestapo or by other security types. And he was apparently criticized by his superiors for being a little too lenient with the prisoners.
I love that last line in the movie. As he steps into the car, he tells the Steve McQueen character, Virgil Hiltz, he says, looks like you'll see Berlin before I do.
Yeah.
Speaking of that movie, I wanted to ask you, is it...
Well, forget Steve McQueen.
Well, that's just what I was going to ask you. Somebody told me, I can't remember if it was you or if it was Lieutenant General Clark, about the Steve McQueen character. He said it may have been loosely based, very loosely based, on a guy by the name of Jerry Sage.
Well, Wally Fletty, the Canadian, was the technical advisor for the movie.
Okay.
And he spent a lot of time in Switzerland and Germany while they were making the thing. And he says no, that there weren't any of these characters. That was not part of the system. That somebody's Yank's interpretation, but he says no.
So that Steve McQueen character virtually kind of bunked then, huh?
Well, there was American, but this business of getting out and running on a motorcycle—that's pure fiction.
That's the one. That's the sequence apparently that really kind of bothered some of the folks.
That's pure fiction, and that's right. And that to us kind of destroys the whole thing, or not destroys, detracts a whole lot from the authenticity of the picture, because people remember that and jumping that damn fence on a motorcycle. That has nothing to do with it. And none of those, and of course no Yanks got out in the damn escape anyway.
Yeah, I think they only had, in the movie, three. It was McQueen, the James Garner character, and then there was one other one, I think.
Yeah, but he was in the RAF, see?
Ah.
Garner.
Besides that motorcycle sequence, was the movie pretty much factual?
That was pretty good, yeah. None of us, it was pretty reasonable.
How about the 50th anniversary? Any big plans coming up here for March? For you?
Yeah, we're going to have a big one in Cincinnati. Big get together. We used to have them almost every year. We've gone to every 5 years. I've been over to England 3 times. They have them every 3, 4, 5 years. I've been to Canada 3 times to get together. They have big ones there. We get several hundred Kriegies. Two or three day session, telling lies and all that good stuff.
Well, you certainly haven't been telling any lies today here. This has been, it's just a fascinating story. And
very good.
How many do you expect at in Cincinnati? How many members will be there?
I imagine we'll have 500 to 1,000. 700 or more, I
think. Really? That many still, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Dave Pollock, who used to own or be run at a steel company, Pollock Steel in Cincinnati, and for years he used to sort of sponsor them. It wasn't very big, but that it got too big, and he gave that up. And we've been several places. The last time we were up in Norfolk, Virginia, was that 3 years ago, something like that. And so we're going to go on the 50th to Cincinnati, and that's sort of the big blowout, I think.
That weekend then, or I think it's officially on a Thursday this year, I think the anniversary is.
Well,
yeah, it's on the
29th of April was the day we were liberated.
Oh, I see, okay.
That's what we do it for.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, listen, General, I tell you, I've been fascinated by that motion picture, and you've even intrigued my fascination more with this interview today.
Well,
here.
Fair enough, Bob. That's good.
I really appreciate it. And once again, you know, the gentleman and all the officers who were in that camp back in 1944, I think the whole world is tipping their hat to you, because this is one outstanding story.
Well, that's great. Thank you very much.
Once again, a big thank you to General David Jones, United States Air Force retired, and we hope you've enjoyed tonight's presentation here on KFGO as we remember 50 years ago, the Great Escape. CBS News is on the way.